Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of the Disaster Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the pod medic, and it's always great to have you joining us. We're going to be back with part two of a two-part episode we began last week with Dr. Juliette Saucy. She was talking about her experiences as the EMS director for medical director for New Orleans during the Katrina disaster with Hurricane Katrina. And we then segued into her later experience as the part-time or short-term, I guess I should say, medical director in Washington, D.C. And she talks specifically about managing and dealing with leadership when that leadership is toxic. And we're going to talk about managing and dealing with toxic leadership and how to approach it and when there might be a point where you have to say that it's time to go. Again, special thank you to the rest of our guests. We had Dr. Joe Holly from Paragon Medical Education Group. And of course, always my co-host, Sam Bradley, joining us. And we will get into that discussion with Dr. Juliette Saucy coming up right now.
So, Juliette, let's shift gears just a little bit, and if we could kind of transition and talk a little bit about kind of toxic leadership, for lack of a better term here. And I know you spent some time in the DC EMS system, which is certainly got its issues on many, many levels and has for a long time. And I know that proved to be some incredible challenges for you. Could you maybe just set the stage a little bit about what that system was like and sort of some of the issues that you noticed very quickly after you arrived there?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's a caveat to that. I was cautioned about even considering the situation, and being the 5-year-old that I can be sometimes, the magical thinking, you know, oh, it's you know, if I want it to be, it will be, you know, that came into play. But I firmly believed that when I went through the interview process that I was pretty pretty direct and transparent, and you know me, I asked the right questions, you know, hey, can I do this, can I do that? Where do I fit in this kind of hierarchy? Oh, you're part of the team. You're going to be the executive team. And we fully support a medically based driven change. We know things need to be changed. And, you know, I believed them. I bought in. So shame on me, perhaps. What I found was a very a political system. And so let's talk a little bit about leadership. It led by somebody who has, you know, taken a basic EMT course, stood on the sidelines and watched a high-performing system in Seattle perform, you know, God knows, under the, you know, incredible leadership of Copas and Cobb and now Mike Sayre, and watched it work and not mess it up. There's a difference between leading and not screwing something up. So I mistook that. So I joined a team that was political and new and really didn't understand EMS. So we have a system filled with 3,000 providers in the nation's capital, and they absolutely, totally, and completely despise 93% of what they do. And at the end of the day, there were 3 people that had any leadership title on the EMS side. Me, a deputy chief, and an assistant chief, one who had not practiced emergency medical care in 20 plus years, and that was the dream team, right? And so the dream team was, you know, not really the dream team, and the chief was not really there, or is not really there to make reform. And it became very obvious to me early on that despite really quick and agile sort of implementation of basic procedures, policies, medicine, was rejected. And as, you know, you go on and on, at some point you wake up and you say, you know, your entire 93% of what you do is riding on my medical license, and yet you do the opposite of what I say on a daily basis, and we have untoward outcomes. And, you know, go and talk and ask and, you know, get information, but clearly marginalized, clearly not valued, clearly not respected, and clearly have no real ability to influence change. And, you know, in midlife, you recognize things a little earlier than maybe you would in your 30s and 40s. And, you know, that just wasn't a cocktail that was going to work for me. So I tried to reach out to the administration, the chief, the deputy director, the deputy mayor, the mayor, and, you know, it was just deaf ears. So no harm, no foul, right? Just not a place for me. But let's don't mince words. There is absolutely no desire to make meaningful reform or change in the district. This is all about making it through an administration and not making any waves. Let's don't piss off the union leaders. Let's promote, you know, our folks that we can. And let's get through here and stay out of the media. Let's hire a media guy from Fox 5 who can, like, squelch all this, and let's move forward so I can get reelected. I find that incredibly, you know, distasteful and not the way that we practice medicine. So very patient. I'm very patient-focused, very provider-focused, and so our philosophies were incredibly misaligned, and I will take ownership for not vetting that harder. I asked the questions, I got the answers. The answers weren't correct. The answers didn't pan out, but I have to own some of it, so I will. But it was an unpleasant experience, but I have no regrets. Incredible providers in DC. I just want everybody to know that. There are some absolutely dedicated, amazing providers who are completely marginalized, and my only hope is, you know, another administration will see it for what it is. New Orleans, and again, I'm obviously biased, is absolutely flourishing and just amazing. And if every EMS system could enjoy that sort of growth and success, we'd have a perfect world.
Well, I think that says a tremendous amount about the influence of quality leaders, especially in our world, and the impact that they can have on a system. And I think if nothing else, if people simply learn the lesson of how big a difference something as, I'll say simple, although it's clearly not simple, but as rudimentary and as basic as decent quality leadership is, I think that is it in a nutshell, on, you know, two blazing examples of the impact that can have.
You know, I've done a tremendous amount of reflection and introspection, actually, and thoughts on leadership. And I would love to say that, you know, you can grow and develop leaders. And yes, that may be true, but I believe that there are people out there that have inherent qualities that involve leadership, are not involved, but that are they have the inherent qualities of a leader, and unfortunately, and this is going to be a judgment statement. Unfortunately, I think that in EMS, we're kind of, and I say this very respectfully, we're at a tipping point. You know, we're going to go one way or the other. We're going to go into the kind of, you know, business as usual, average sort of, yes, we deliver care and it's okay and there's some oversight. Or we're going to rise and say, at the end of the day, there's no functioning in the EMS system without really strong medical direction and / leadership. And my lean, obviously, is towards strong, involved leadership. And I have to be honest with you, I have days where I'm very disillusioned at what's going on, because having had the opportunity and the incredible privilege of being involved in New Orleans EMS and the rebuilding, to see where they are today, I know it can happen. And so when you know something can happen, it's hard to watch something just falter and be mediocre. So
I completely understand. You know, you get so frustrated because you the answer is so obvious, and yet you're not in a position where you can get done what you want to get done in regards to that. But I saw some of that here in Memphis before kind of our revitalization, much like you saw in New Orleans, and certainly has, it sounds like has yet to occur in D.C.
Yeah. And I would just encourage, your listeners, and you know, there's absolutely power in numbers. There's power in cohesive, directed sort of thought on what can be. We have an opportunity as things change here in the next, 1 to 5 years, to really, really bond together and to say, honestly, truly, at the end of the day, there are no functioning EMS systems without medical direction. And so we have a real choice here about how we exert that and how we come together and play well with all the other aspects of the systems, whether it be private, public, third service, fire-based. You know, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, medicine is medicine. Patient care is patient care. And the standard of care is the standard of care. And there are iterations on that, but there are some basic principles that hold very, very true. And one is involved medical direction. Two is good, sound patient care. And three is accountability and transparency. And I can only pray that in the next 5 years that we will band together and that we will insist that this exists. And having been on the other receiving end, both of a system in New Orleans that was lacking that, and having it infused and seeing the results, and then seeing a system in D.C. that is even more lacking, and having, disgustingly, honestly, having the financial resources that you and I would only dream of. You know that in most places we are strapped, strapped, strapped. They're not strapped here. And to see them mismanage it by poor leadership is absolutely like gut wrenching, stomach turning, nauseating. So, yeah, it's frustrating and unnecessary. And frankly, the citizens and the visitors to the district, they don't deserve that. They deserve the best.
Well, it sounds like the providers deserve more too. And as you said earlier, it sounds like they need someone in their foxhole, which is someplace you were willing to go and we're prevented from going there. And the other piece of that is there's just so much animosity that's gone on for so long. That would be a difficult relationship to change, it sounds like.
It was, but I'll tell you, one of my greatest joys, honestly, has been, as minimal as my influence was, is still talking to those providers that are engaged on a daily basis or a weekly basis, still having them call and say, what do you think? Still, I mean, they are so starving for direction. And when you look at, and I don't know the person, so this is no dispersion on the person that exists, but when you hire an infectious disease clinic doctor to be your medical director, how in the world is he going to know what kind of guidance to give you at 2 in the morning or at 10 in the morning? He, any more than I would know what to do about a patient with a weird infectious disease in the clinic. I mean, we need to own what we own and what we're good at. And when a system says, I'm going to hire somebody who won't question what we do because he can't and or doesn't know how to, then that is, to me, the most blatant form of disrespect that you can show a community. And that's what's happening. Frankly, they are pushing to make him, and again, I don't know him. He's probably an amazing human. I don't know him. But he's an amazing human who's not trained in emergency medicine and doesn't know anything about EMS. So how is that happening in our nation's capital?
Sad to say, isn't it?
So, well, Joe, you medical directors, I know several of you on the state end, and you get together and have meetings quite often. So I get the sense there is some synergy and so there's discussions, and as new people are brought in, you kind of bring them into the fold. Now, she's talking about a city situation, but, I feel there's some synergy there that you guys are all kind of saying, oh, what should we be doing? What should we not be doing? Who's doing it well? Who's not doing it well? How do we bring up the new ones to be kind of on the same page? Is there anything that group can do for some of these city-level medical directors that are kind of caught up in this, I'm not getting any support and I don't know what to do?
Well, I certainly would like to think that several of the professional organizations that EMS physicians belong to, from the National Association of EMS Physicians to the state EMS medical directors have an organization as well. And then there's rather a consortium group of us called the Eagles that are very clinically focused and I think share an amazing camaraderie. Any of those places would be great resources. Of course, I think part of the issue is you have to want the help and the direction, and some places don't want that. As Gillette's beautifully pointed out, and as I sat and listened to this conversation about DC, as well as the earlier conversations we had about New Orleans, it struck me that the leadership in New Orleans, sort of from an external standpoint, was very dysfunctional, and things didn't go very well. And then in D.C. we have an example of sort of internal leadership that has a very dysfunctional department that can't get out of its own way, it sounds like. And, just two beautiful examples of, I guess beautiful is not a great word to use there, but two examples of how incredibly impactful the right person in the right place can be. Gillette's been a ray of hope and a beam of sunshine in both of those situations that were terribly difficult to deal with and terribly dysfunctional on many levels. And, I know there's lots more systems out there like that. It reminds me very much of what a disaster situation is like, because that level of dysfunction is forced upon the system. Just imagine if you have a disaster in a situation like that where you've got very dysfunctional leadership, imagine the issues that are going to come into play there as you try to get that situation under control.
And, when you talk about that, you think back to Katrina, and to this day, I had one of the most, we all have our bosses in our lives, and I had one of the most amazing bosses, Colonel Terry Ebert, a Vietnam veteran, Purple Heart guy. He was we had a Department of Homeland Security, and he was the director. And he'd call me in, he'd like, "Saucy, what do you think? Damn, you know, here we go, bam, 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 Colonel," but he's like, "Go do it, I support you." And at the end of the day, I mean, he was new as well, but during and post-Katrina, I mean, our success, so there are layers, right? You've got the mayor, you've got Homeland Security, you've got EMS, you've got police, fire, whatever. We all work together. But I had an incredible, and to this day, an incredible mentor on leadership. You know, he was hands down, bar none, a war vet who said, "You're my person. Go here, tell me what you're doing and go do it, and I've got your back." And at the end of the day, that was so incredibly effective to have that person. And we still talk today. I mean, he's an amazing man. And some of us are lucky enough to have those snippets in our lives, those people that make a difference, both medically, you know, Norman McSwain for me in terms of how to be a good human and a good doctor and a good healthcare healer. I mean, who gets that in their lifetime? And I did. I got Terry Ebert. I got Norman McSwain. I've had these amazing people in my life who have absolutely shaped the evolving human that I am and the evolving leader that I am. And I am so blessed. So it doesn't happen in a vacuum. It doesn't happen without trial and tribulation. But at the end of the day, you know, as you go on this journey, you recognize more quickly now, this is a toxic situation. This is not going to go well, and I need to either escalate this or I need to remove myself. You know, sometimes leadership and maturity, in my mind, is about knowing when enough is enough. You know, we all, I think all of us on this phone call and the audience that is listening can totally relate to the healthcare provider. You know, we're just going to keep on. We're going to do whatever we can do. You know, we'll make it work. And that's absolutely admirable. But at the end of the day, there's some incredible maturity and some incredible health that comes with knowing when to say, "I'm here. I have this absolute thing I can offer you. I'm willing to work. And if you're not willing, then I wish you well." And walking away is a strength as well. And I think our younger providers and our younger leaders need to hear that. I'm not advocating walking away when things get tough, but when it's clear that, you know, staying is just a endurance test, that is not necessarily good leadership or good practice.
Well said.
Well, as a final comment from me, looking at it from the provider perspective, and my level of leadership was, you know, ambulance company supervision and that kind of thing. And without strong leaders and people willing to support you, you can't support the people under you. And I just want to say that we so appreciate people like you and Joe Hawley that are there for the providers and willing to make the systems as strong as you can. And I really feel for those people in D.C. that are prevented from having that because of all of the layers of bureaucracy that just don't want to make it happen. But, you know, from us to you, we appreciate people like you, and we wish there were more of you out there. And we're so glad you're still willing to be in the system and helping out wherever you can.
I think Joe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Joe would agree. You and I had this conversation in Wyoming. How incredibly amazing it is to absolutely get up every day and to absolutely love what you do, to love interacting with the providers, to having been a provider, and to love being in that position to be part of a winning system that absolutely provides extraordinary patient care, extraordinary education, and just being part of that family is such an incredible privilege. So, Joe, comments on that?
You couldn't have said it better myself.
You know, Joe, I hear about, talking about all the leadership things, and I'm curious, you know, with Paragon, when you guys do the training that you guys do for disaster programs and responses to different types of disasters, do you deal with leadership topics as part of your training?
I think we do, you know, probably not as explicitly as I might like, and maybe we need to make that a bit more prominent, but it's certainly inherent in everything that we do, and it's certainly required to be able to step into a disaster situation and bring some order out of chaos.
Yeah, that's the theme, I think, over these past two episodes with Juliet is, you've been through two very stressful situations, both for different reasons, one man-made, one non-man-made, but yet the leadership principles seemed to carry through both those things in different ways, and just interesting. It's interesting to hear your take on how leadership impacted good response, and how failure in leadership perhaps had a negative impact on response in another place. So, thank you, Juliet, for talking about that and sharing with us.
Absolutely. What a privilege. Thank you, because I I feel so strongly about it, and it's really nice in this kind of less than formal environment to talk about it, because it's kind of, again, a fireside chat. But it's so important, and I only hope it can translate into we can operationalize it. We can begin to make that kind of the standard. Joe is one of those special people, and there are a handful of them. There's more than a handful. They're out there, and it's just a matter of tapping into the resource. So, what a privilege. Thank you so much for the opportunity to spend time with you tonight.
Joe, if folks want to bring Paragon in, you guys are our sponsors for this show, and we appreciate all the support. But we do it. We appreciate that support because you guys do such a fantastic job, and you are game changers in helping people be prepared. And that's part of the leadership, the leadership paradigm that needs to happen in so many systems out there, is leaders recognizing when there is a gap in their training and finding that resource to bring in. Where can folks find Paragon to find out more about what you do and how they can maybe bring you into their system?
Sure. Well, thanks, Jamie. So we can find Paragon on the web, of course, at paragonmedicalgroup.com. We have a Facebook page under the same name. Our Twitter feed is ParagonMedEDU. And you can always reach us through the Disaster Podcast or on Facebook under Disaster Podcast.
Yep, and there's links in both those locations to go back to find Paragon. So if you're checking out this podcast, follow the link back to our website, and there's a link right there to take you over to Paragon. And, you know, Joe, it's always a privilege to continue to be associated with you guys and to bring fantastic guests to our response community, like Juliet, to share her experiences so that other people can make their systems better and be better prepared for those austere situations that are going to, hit everywhere at some point in our careers. So it's important. Sam, where can folks find you?
Well, in all the places Joe just mentioned, except I not under Paragon. You'll find me under Sam Bradley or Sam Bradley 11 in those places. Please come by our Facebook site. We have some conversations going on over there. And I would think that this is a topic that people would love to comment on. I was blown away. I mean, from a provider standpoint, there's just a lot of things we don't understand about good people and leadership that can't do what they really want to do. And it's good for providers to know that. But come on over to disaster.com, disasterpodcast.com, and let us know what you think about this. And if you'd like to have more discussions on leadership topics. Jamie, where do we find you?
You can find me under the handle PodMedic in most social media sites out there, so look me up. And, of course, always over at disasterpodcast.com, where you can check out the site, leave a comment there if you have a question on any of the episodes, and we'll have the guest send us a response back so we can share it back with you. And, of course, we also communicate quite a bit over on our Facebook group. So head over and check out the Facebook group for the Disaster Podcast. You do have to request to join, but it's not a big deal. We just go ahead and hit accept. But it makes it so the group does have a certain bar. But really, all you have to do is ask to come in, and we'll let you in. And then you can have some great discussions with some fabulous doctors, EMS providers, disaster resource managers. There's people of all different walks of life and involved with disaster response over there. So check it out over at our Facebook group under Disaster Podcast. Sam, we've talked about a lot of things over these couple of episodes here with Dr. Saucy, and I think that it talks a lot about the importance of understanding how our medical care changes in these types of situations.
Yes, and looks at the potential of what it could be, and I can see that she still holds some hope that things can change. And so we talk about Katrina, which is a real disaster, but we don't consider the fact that we can have disasters right within our own EMS systems if we don't run them properly. So, as we say every week, disaster medicine is not our everyday medicine.